Today's daf is Menachot, daf Chof Chet. We're holding on the second line of Omar Mar. And we had just concluded the two approaches to how it is that we can explain the fact that two brayot seem to contradict each other. One of which says that if you are Zerek, the dam, that is Shelo Lishma of the Pora, it's possible. But if you're Zerek, the dam, not precisely Mechuvan, towards the Heichal, when you're standing on Har HaZeitim, that's not a problem. Whereas the other brayta says, no, both cases are a problem, and we'll pass the Parah Aduma. So we had two basic approaches. One approach was that it's really a machloket, one is going early, but Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says that it means very dafka when it says El, it's like over here, it would say El Pnei HaKaporet was dafka, so too was the El Nochach dafka. The Rabbonan held it was Lav dafka, and that accounts for not being makbid if it isn't straight towards the Heichal. Rava said that actually there's no need to make it a machloket. There's really two separate situations in which mechuvan can be explained in two different ways. So we have a mechuvan in the sense of aimed directly, carefully, and then we have a mechuvan in the correct general direction. Now, those are two very different things. So if the coin is in the general direction, and he is standing there facing, when he's standing on Har HaZeitim, he is standing facing the Beis HaMikdash, and he's being Zerek, then that's fine, even if he isn't a great shot, and he doesn't face directly towards the Heichal. But if he's facing the wrong direction, so let's say he's standing north facing south, or south facing north, then that's ridiculous. It's not even in the general direction of Nochach HaOmeid. And because of that, the Braita said it was possible. Those are two very different situations. Now, we said yesterday, and now we're going to ask a further question from another Braita that contradicts itself in these Braita in yet another way. Omar Mar, we said yesterday that Shebifnim v'Shebim Mitzorah Shelo Lishman Pesula. So if you have the seven hazaot that you need to be mazik, which is the parochetnim, or the mitzorah, who has the seven hazaot that the kohen is mazik for him with the blood and with the oil. Now, if he did that shelo lishman, it would be pesulot. If it was shelo b'mechuvan, then if it's not mechuvan towards the kodesh kadashim, then it would be kisherot. Now, problem is that we do have a brayta that said that shelo lishman is also kosher. Vayatanya ben shelo lishman ben shelo mechuvanot kisherot. How do you explain the contradiction? Is shelo lishman possible or is it kosher? Now, obviously, the simplest answer is the one that Rabbi Yosef offers. Om Rabbi Yosef lo kasha, ha Rabbi Eliezer. We already know from back in Zvachim the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer who holds that Shelo Lishma is possible not only by Chatat but by Asham. And of course, the Asham is exactly what we'd be worried about when we're dealing with a Mitzorah. And Ha, Rabbi Eliezer, and Ha Rabbanan. The Rabbanan hold that the din of Shelo Lishma is limited to Chatat. So therefore, explains Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Eliezer, the Makish Asham Lechatat, according to him, since it says Kasham Lechatat, Kachatat Kasham, that means the Torah compares the Yashab to the Chatas. Which case, if the Chatas is Shelo Lishma Posel, so too is the Asham Shelo Lishma Posel. And since the Torah also compares, it's Makish, the Luk Shemen as well to the Asham, because in the same pasuk it says Keves Asham Netrufa, and then it says Velok Shaman. So it's putting together the Lok Shaman and the Asham itself. So therefore, if the Asham Shelo Lishma is possible, so too is the Lok Shaman possible. Very simple. That would be one way of learning it. Now, the Rabbonan are not Makish. Ask the Gemara, that's not so simple, because that would mean that you have a double Hekesh. You're first being makish Asham to Chatat, and then you're being makish to Lok Shem to the Asham. And the problem is that when it comes to Kachim, you can't learn out A from B and B to C, because Ein Lamedim Lamad Min Alamad. Therefore, Es the Gemara, Vachidavar Lamad Behekesh, Chazir Malamed Behekesh, you cannot simply learn it out now to a second order limud. Therefore, El Amar Rava, just like Rava said yesterday, it's not necessary to create a machloket. And we can actually define the difference in terms of the case of the Braita. He says exactly the same teretz here. Hava HaRabbanan, there's no problem at all. Both cases work out perfectly well, according to Rabbanan. And you're talking about two different issues that you're conflating. Kan Lahakshir, Kan Lahatzot. Remember, what's the din of Hashem Shelo Lishma? Not according to Rabbi Eliezer. Well, not according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's kosher, but it's not olah lebalim l'shem chovah. Thank you. So when it's kosher, what's the din? You're allowed to eat whatever was matir normally would be nitar to eat. So over here, it's kosher. That's all the Braita said. And that means that the kohen could eat the remaining of the shema. But when you're talking about not kosher, you mean not kosher. You mean it's not meratzeh. Because, of course, it's lo alu labalim l'shem chovah. And if it's lo alu labalim l'shem chovah, then the mitzorah is going to have to bring another one. And that's very simple. Works out well according to anybody. And you just have to be careful. You know what the bride is referring to. Is it referring to the eating, or is it referring to the mitzorah now being able to be tahor and come into the Beit HaMikdash? So kan laharzot, because it's not alu labalim l'shem chovah, continues the Elik HaMishnah. Shiva. Now we're going to move on now. Remember that we had this template for systems in our perek. So if you have various elements, and of course the model was the komets, in which you have the komets, and you have the shiraim, and you have the lavona, and all of them are one system, any piece that's going to be missing at any point before the heter is going to passel the entire mincha. And we went on yesterday to describe other things that are systems like that. So we have the Shnei Bezich and Levina with the Lechem Aponim, and so on. Today, we want to move out of the realm of the Minachot, move into the general dinim of Kachim, and then go even beyond them. And so, the Mishnah begins with the seven branches of the menorah. If one of them is missing, the menorah cannot be lit. It's useless. So Shiva Kanei Menorah Makvim Zeze. Not only the branches, but also the lamps, which are on top of the branches. Remember, Neirot, the real meaning of Neirot in Hebrew is a lamp, not a candle. And the lamp was a separate piece that contains the oil. It's not part of the branch. So that there should be seven lamps on the branches is also Ma'akim Zeze. If one is missing, no good. Not only that, but the Shtei Parshiyot Shebim Mezuzah, moving on not only from Kachim, but even to other things. So the Mezuzah has Shema V'Hayayim Shamoah. If it's missing one of those Parshiyot, forget it. It's not a Mezuzah. Makvot Zavetzu. As a matter of fact, Afilu Ketav Echad Makvan. Even if one letter is not written, Uchtaftam with the Ketivat Tamah, it's touching each other's missing a part, as we're going to see throughout the Sugya here, which will define for us the Dinim of Ketivah and so on, Menachot, is going to be very, very rich in these Halachot. Even a single letter, which turns out to mean even a single tiny piece of a letter, is going to be ma'akev the whole thing, and if one part of it is no good, the whole mezuzah is useless. The four parshiot in the tefillin, the Shema v'hayim Shemoa, Kadesh l'kol b'chor v'hayim ki yevyecha, all of those parshiot need to be there in order for the tefillin to be effective, and they're ma'akvim zehetzeh, and here too, afilu ketav echad ma'akvan, even some diuk in the ketiva, that is in ketiva tama, one letter is ma'akev. The four tzitziot on your tzitzit are also makvot zuzu, and if you don't have all four, don't bother, because our ba'atan mitzvah achat. But here Rabbi Shmuel argues, and he says, no, they're four separate mitzvot, and indeed each one is a mitzvah in itself. My time, why do we say that the seven kanim are actually ma'akeh? Because it says a lashon, our favorite lashon, mimena yihiyu. Yihiyu is that old existential word again, and therefore it comes to havaya. And Havaya is to be or not to be, and it doesn't allow you any options in between. So either this is a menorah as defined, or it's not a menorah. You can forget about it. Tana Rabbanan. Menorah eta ba'a min ha'eshet. So if you make a menorah, it's got to come from a single solid piece of metal. And that metal is zahav. Umina zahav. If you made a menorah, asa'a min ha'grutaot, you made a menorah from different pieces, and then you welded them together, it would be puzzle. But if you made it from another metal, not from gold, it would be kosher. Mishar minei matachot kishera. But this doesn't seem to make any sense. I assume the reason you're saying if you make it from separate pieces which are then welded, it's puzzle, is because it says miksha te'aseh menorah, and it repeats that a number of times, we're going to see, and it uses a lashon of mimena yihiyu. Yihiyu meaning that havaya. You've got no choice. And therefore, it's got to be, that's the description. The kana, the givi'er, kaftareh, pirachah, mimena, you all must be made out of the same exact thing. That means it's got to be made out of the same hunk of metal. And if it isn't, you're saying it's possible. Great, I understand that. But I do not understand where you come off saying that then it doesn't have to be zahav, because it says zahav also. It says kikar zahav tahor. It's not just an eshet. It's an eshet of zahav. So what right do you have to cut the difference here somehow between the welding per se and the metal? I don't understand that. So miksha plus havaya, it does exactly the same thing for the other issue, which is other metals. Sharmine matachot nami. It says, quote, zahav, unquote, and quote, havaya, yiyu, unquote. It's exactly the same issue. Well, it is, says the Gemara, but the thing is that the Torah writes an extra word to make it very clear that you can use other metals. And how does it do that? It uses an extra ta'aseh. So it says, v'yasita minorat zahav tahor. Okay, now that means make. You don't need to repeat make. And then it goes on to say, miksha ta'aseh ha-minorah, which is clearly repetitive. And therefore it's coming to add even that which would seem to be precluded by your initial assumptions. This is coming to tell me, do not preclude. Actually, it can be even broader than you had assumed. Doesn't need to only be zahav. Yeah, that's very nice, but how do you know that the extra word ta'aseh is not coming to include welding and not to include gold? I mean, maybe the gold is more fundamental. No. You can't say that, says the Gemara, because the word ta'aseh is said on miksha. It says miksha ta'aseh menorah. So if it's stressing, therefore, you can't say that, says the Gemara, because the very word havaya is in that pasuk of miksha, where it says, kana, and yigviya, kaftara, parachya, mimena, yihiyu, which is a reference to the solid hunk. So if the yihiyu is referring to the solid hunk, how could it possibly be something that, well, we could do without that? Must be, therefore, that the zahav we can do without. Yeah, says the Gemara, excuse me, but the word ta'aseh is also connected directly to the miksha. So, I mean, if you're going to look at that, then the extra saying, let's expand it, goes on the miksha too. So, again, why are you saying that it goes on the zahav? Anyway, you're going to have to either use the yu for the zahav or the miksha for the zahav. So back where we started from, because both the expansion and the limitation only occur in the pasuk of the miksha, not the pasuk of kikar zahav tahor yaseh otah. There's got to be, therefore, another reason for your having chosen, just arbitrarily, it seems to me, for your having chosen Bedavka, that it's the miksha that is important and the zahav that we can do without. Well, yeah, there is a reason. The reason is that the Torah added, actually, an additional word, you see, because miksha is written twice, and therefore Miksha is me'akev. So since it repeats miksha by the menorah, therefore we have to say that on that, the Torah is clearly me'akev, and it doesn't want you to get away without doing it miksha. So that must be the one that we're going to be most makbid on. And this double miksha appears in Parshat Truma. We're going to see that there's another doubling in Baha'u'llah. Anyway, so it says it twice. It says the Gemara, that's brilliant, except that it also says zahav twice. So we're still back where we started from. So you're telling me miksha is la'akev. Well, then zahav is also la'akev. So I don't see what we've gained. You wrote in Truma, v'yasita minorat zahav tahor, and then you say, kikar zahav tahor, yaseota. There you go. It's exactly the same situation. So basically, the way I see it, everything is the same. Miksha, miksha, zahav, zahav, te'aseh, v'haya, v'hayu. So we've got havaya, we've got te'aseh, and we've got two doubling up of a shonot, and for some reason you've chosen to say, well, the one we can't change is the miksha part, but the zahav part we can. You've got to give me a better explanation. Says the Gemara, well, there's a better explanation, but I can't discuss the better explanation with you as just a local issue. You're going to have to look into the overall system of the drashot to see how they work out. If you have the patience, I'd be happy to explain it to you. So you see, haimai. I mean, basically, you don't know what you're talking about. Because iamret bishlama min agrutot psula mishamine metachor kshira. Look, we've got two possibilities, okay? Either that grutaot are no good, but any metal is good, or that grutaot is good, but only gold is good, and no other metal is good. Those are the two possibilities. Now, I'm insisting that there's really only one possibility. Because if you try to do it the other way, you're going to end up with a bunch of hanging words that don't connect to anything. I happen to know, and I'm going to show you, that we can account, if we do it this way, and say that the Zahav is Lav Davka, we can account for every single mention of Miksha, which actually happens to be mentioned four times, two times in Truma, and two times in Behalotecha, which is Zema Aser Menorah, Miksha Zahav Adyecha, Miksha Yi. So, we're going to have to count for all of that. Believe me, if we do it the other way, and we say that it's the Miksha Lav Davka, but the Zahav is Davka, you're going to see we don't have a clue as to why we have all of those. Now, here's what I'm telling you, therefore. So if you tell me that the way I've done it is correct, namely, that minagruta otis psula and mishamine mitamatachotis kshera, then I can explain to you why the doubling up of zahav, zahav, and miksha, miksha is for drosha purposes, as I'm going to show you. But if you're going to try to read it the other way, namely, eli yamrit, that minagruta otis kshera and other metals are psula, then you're going to have nothing to do with those four mentions. Zav, zav, miksha, miksha. I'm very sorry. My darashtabit. What are you going to do with it? Would you mind just telling me what we're talking about? Because I'm a little out of my depth. My drasha. Okay, settle back, and I shall give you a lesson. Tanya. Kikar zahav tahor yaase otat kol hakelim ha'ela. Now let's analyze that mention of the word zahav, okay? Because we already know Zahav, Asita Menorat Zahav Tahor, right? So when it says Kikar Zahav Tahor Yaseh Otat Kol HaKelim Ha'ela, what it's coming to tell me is, if, and only if, it's being made out of gold, then it has to be made out of a Kikar. So Ba'a Zahav Ba'a Kikar. But if it's Ba'a from any other metal, Eina Ba'a Zahav, then it does not have to be specifically a Kikar. You can make a Menorah out of anything. That's Drusha number one for Zahav. Now obviously, there's not much we're going to be able to do with the Zahav if we can't use anything else. So forget about that. And then there's the other drasha, okay? It also mentions the word Zahav with the idea of the Gvi'ea Kaftareo Ferracheha is also mentioned together with the Zahav. Azitav Zahar Menorama Zahav Tahor. There too, Gvi'ea Kaftareo Ferracheha. That means Ba'a Zahav, if you're making the menorah out of gold. So then, it needs to have the designs of the Gvi'im, the Kaftorim, the Brachim. But if it's Eina Ba'a Zahav, not made out of gold, forget it. Then it doesn't need any of these designs. It doesn't need the little cups, which are the Gvi'im. They look like little bechers, as we'll see. It doesn't need the Kaftorim, which look like little balls. And it does not need the little flowers. So you could just basically make it a very simple piece of metal, a pipe or whatever, and that would be sufficient. So that's your next drasha. Eina ba'zahav, eina ba'gvim, kafturim, frachim. Again, if there would be no possibility of anything but zahav, this would be rather silly, right? So I've showed you we need to be able to have variety if the drasha of zahav is going to make any sense. And it's going to keep going like this, but just keep your mind on every point. You'll see there's no way that it can work if you want to do it the way you suggested. It only works if we do it this way. That the Zahav is a variable, but the Miksha is not. Hey, by the way, I'm just wondering why you said the Gvi'ea Kaftareo Ferracheha is dependent on Zahav, but the Pasuk actually says, Vikana, Yerecha Vikana Gvi'ea Kaftareo Ferracheha. Maybe if it doesn't come out of Zahav, it doesn't need any branches. Maybe you could just use like a straight candlestick. I mean, not candlestick, obviously, but like the equivalent of a candlestick as a lamp. So why not go all the way and say the Eimanami ba'a zahav ba'a kanim? Eina ba'a zahav doesn't even need kanim. No, that's because the word menorah implies a branched lamp. If it would only have its middle and wouldn't have any branches, it wouldn't be called a menorah. It would be called a pamot. And therefore, I have no option of darshaning it that way because it would violate their simple meaning. So how pamot mikri? Anyway, next drasha on the word miksha. V'zeh ma'aseh ha'menorah. Now, I'm moving on to the word miksha that appears now in Be'ha'alotecha. So as Tosfos explains, I understand the first miksha is the mitzvah, it has to be miksha. The second one is that it's ma'akeh, if it's not miksha. And now we also have the two more miksha that are mentioned in Be'ha'alotecha, where over there the ma'aseh ha'menorah is repeated strangely. It seems it's a non sequitur after the gift of the Nesiyim to the Mizbeach. We understand that that's part of the presentation to Aaron, who was very upset that he didn't get a chance to be a part of that gift. And it gives him, by the way, a repeat of what the menorah is, which doesn't seem to make any sense, unless it's therefore drasha. So what is that drasha? Okay, that drasha goes like this. Miksha zahav. That comes to tell me again, if it's ba'azahav, if you're bringing it out of gold, then it needs to be without welding. But if it's not being made out of gold, you can weld other metal together. So then, eina ba'a miksha. Yeah, what's that last one for, by the way? Done pretty good so far. The miksha de seifa lamayate, because that pasuk actually repeats miksha twice. Ezema ha'samanara miksha zahav. Adirechat pircha mikshahi. Why does it have to repeat mikshahi? You know, even when you read this naively, the pasuk, it always strikes you as being very repetitive. So what's that last miksha for? That miksha is l'mu'uti chatzotzrot. Remarkably, it isn't there, actually, to tell me anything about the menorah. It's there to tell me something about the chatzotzrot, trumpets that were made for Moshe, and it's an inference from the menorah. And that, I'm not making this up either. It sounds far-fetched. Read this brighter, you'll see I'm right. The Tanya. Chatzotzrot ha'yubayim mina eshet u'mina kesef. Interestingly enough, we have a similar thing where something has to be made out of solid, this time not of gold, but of silver. And that's the trumpets that were made in Moshe's time for calling the people together, the Kiddush HaMachaneh, the Nesi of the Machaneh, or for Tzaaka Bifnei Hashem. So that has to be also be made mina esh mina kesef. But remarkably, there the halakha is exactly the opposite. If you weld them together, they would be kosher. But if you'd make them out of anything but silver, they would be possible. How do we know that? So that's our question. We're going to see. We're going to have to come back to the menorah to recognize why it is that the trumpets are a mirror image of the menorah. That's basically what's happening. Okay, how does that work? Very simple. Because we asked over there, why did you say that the trumpets cannot be made out of anything but silver? I would assume it's because it says kesev in the pasuk, and it says befeish v'ha'yulacha. V'ha'yulacha is that old existential word again. Ye old existential is either be or not to be, but you certainly can't choose something in the middle. Therefore, either you've got a chatzotra, you don't have a chatzotra. But if that's the case, then isn't it the same thing on a miksha? I mean, so then minagruta ot should also be possible, because it also says miksha and havaya. Ah, and here we come to why I need that final miksha of the menorah, to tell me only the menorah miksha hi. He is miksha. Miksha hi. Only he, but not the only other case that needs to be made out of a solid piece, hammered out, which is the chatzotra. Does not really need to be miksha. Now everything fits perfectly. If you tried in your naivety to reverse that and say, no, the miksha actually is okay for the menorah, but the zahav is not okay to change, every last one of those drushes explodes in your face and you're left hanging nothing, holding nothing but Eeyore's balloon. So forget it, okay? Next time you want to ask me questions, do your homework first. Turn around, Bonnie. Getting back to the interesting case of the chatzotzot, by the way. It's a very curious, special situation with that chatzotzra. And that is the... by the way, that chatzotzra was pretty harsh of a chatzotzra. There's a lot of confusion in this thing, because the Kohanim were the ones who used those chatzotzrot, according to Rabbeinu Tam, and the Levim actually would use animal horns in their shira. And also, he points out that, as the Gemara has made clear elsewhere, that there were changes in the language between the time of the Torah and the way that we use it. So we have sort of mixed up the words. One of the mix-up was chatzotzra, that was was originally called Shofar. Shofar was originally called a Chatzotzra. And therefore, the sugya should not confuse you. It's not our sugya right now, but don't get confused by what appear to be mixed metaphors when we talk about these metal chatzotrot versus animal horn. But in any event, these were certainly kesev. Moshe Rabbeinu made them. They were made specifically for the purposes that they were used for in the Midbar as well. And all of the other kelim, kol ha-kelim sha'asa Moshe, they were kosher for all times. And in fact, we actually discovered that they were really around for quite a long time. And we know that even Koresh had given back a lot of those original kelim that had been brought still from the Mishkan. So even for the second Beit HaMikdash, there were kelim that were available still that Moshe Rabbeinu made. And those were kosher ledorot. But the only thing that was made that was not kosher ledorot were the chatzotzrot. The chatzotzrot, they were ksherot lo, but they were psulot ledorot. They could only be used at the time of Moshe. Now, why exactly is that? Chatzotzrot, my time. Elay midamakra, is it because the Torah says, aseh lecha shtei chatzotzrot kesef? And therefore we say it's only good for you, lecha v'lo ledorot? I mean, you could say the same thing about the Aron, where it says, V'yasita lecha Aron eitz, at the time where Moshe Rabbeinu was making the Shnei Luchot Ha'achronim. So there, it says, psolecha. Shnei Luchot Avanim Karishonim, and V'yasita lecha Aron eitz. So there, are you also going to suggest that Aron could only be used by Moshe? I mean, we know that was the Aron, basically, that was taken out to war throughout all the generations, so that can't be the meaning. Obviously, you know what the real meaning over there is. It's Ella. There were two different approaches to that. And you can apply those two different approaches here to the Chatzotzrot. But it certainly doesn't mean only for that Torah. Either. I mean, according to the Ma'an D'Amar, who said over there, that Aseh Lecha comes telling me that he had to pay for it, as if HaKadosh Baruch was telling him, look, you broke the first ones, you pay for the second ones. So Lecha, Mishalcha, has to come from you. Or it could be, according to the other Ma'an D'Amar, that HaKadosh Baruch was saying, look, you know, I'm doing this because you dragged me into it, but I'd really prefer just to deal with you and not with all these other slav. You know, so Aseh Lecha means Kivayachol. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch was hinting that I really, B'shalcha nirotzeh yoter mishalem, I really want you to be involved, not them. So you say the same thing here about the Chatzotzrot. So Lecha should not be sufficient to limit it to the generation of Moshe. We needed to tell me this other thing. Yeah, but it's different, because by the Chatzotzrot, it repeats Lecha twice. It doesn't only say Aseh Lecha, it says V'hayu Lecha. And that V'hayu Lecha means that we're defining it as something that is particularly yours. Tani Rav Papa, Breder Rav Chanan, Kameder Rav Yosef, Minorai Ta'aba Ba'a Mina Eshet U'mina Zahav. So here came along Rav Papa. He thought he had things pretty well worked out. And this, not Rav Papa, but Rav Papa Breit of Chonin. He was a Talmud by Rav Yosef, and he would say over Breito to him. So he says over this Breito to Rav Yosef. And he thought pretty highly of it. And nonetheless, if you would make it out of silver, it would be kosher. But if you would make it out of ba'atz, or avar, or gisteron, then that's a different story. Now, the ba'atz, how do they translate ba'atz? Is it translated as zinc or tin?
Tin.
Avar is lead, and how do they translate gisteron? As zinc? Or pewter?
Metallic alloy.
So many say it's brass, which is a metal alloy. Okay, but in any event, so Rebbe says, look, kesev, yes, but not these other things, even though they're all metal. It's possible. Rabbi Yehuda says it's actually kosher, any other metal. But if we're talking about wood, shel eitz, or bone, even if it's good bone china, or zechuchit, it's a glass, then everybody agrees it's possible, both Rebbe and Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yosef said to him, I see you're pretty proud of that braita. Can you explain it to me so it makes sense? My datcha. How do you explain that? Rabbi Papa said to him, the way I understand it is that both Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda agree that the way to learn psukim in the Torah is through the mechanism of klal, prat, uklal. And klal, prat, prat, uklal, klal, prat, uklal. Now, the rule of klal, prat, uklal is that we look at a riboy here of anything that is similar to the prat, okay? So we say maha prat is mefurash x, so too anything that you learn out of the prat is now expanded by these lalim, as long as it's similar. Kol hadoyim elav. Okay. The only machlokas is how to define what is similar to the prime. Now, the truth is, the question of how to define it is really something that we've studied at other times, if you recall, because klal prado klal has two possibilities. Klal prado klal, the technical terms of two possibilities, is do we say klala kama is the ikar or klala batra is the ikar? So the way we look at it is like this. The first klal is limitless. Do whatever you want. If that's followed by a prat, the rule of a klal or prat is that the prat is completely the definition of the klal. Because if I say a klal and then I follow it with one thing, then I'm saying a menorah, what I mean is zahav. Menorah, zahav, then it's just a definition. What did I mean when I said menorah? A menorah of zahav. So it's just an adjective. So a klal and a prat is totally limited. I now come along and add another word at the end, repeat menorah, or say viasita menorah. So now I'm again expanding it. Now, the question is, how do I look at that? Do I look at it as that expansion means that we really have a klal of prat which I can minimally expand and we're being told, but don't limit it entirely. Try to find things that are very similar to the prat and add them. That would be called keina prat. Or do we say, no, actually what we had over here was a prat and a klal. It's that first klal that came to limit the limitless expansion of a prat and a klal, in which case the way to look at it would be anything that's vaguely similar to the prat would be enough. And that is the difference over here. If you learn that a klal prat or klal is essentially expansive, then it would certainly include any kind of metal. If it's essentially restrictive, then it would only mean jewel quality metal, like gold. So silver, yes, you know, but certainly not tin. Nobody's going to use tin for jewelry. That's the point. That's how I understand it. Let's see that inside. So I hold that both of them learn klal prado klal, and the only machloket is what is the similarity to the prat. So mar savar ma prat mefurash shal matechet, af kol shal matechet. So what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, look, basically the question is it metal or is it not metal? It has to be similar to the prat. What's the prat? Gold. Is gold a metal? Yes. Any metal is fine, but not wood. Whereas Rebbe says, nah, what do you mean a metal? I mean, what, are we chemists? Maybe we're talking to jewelers. When you say gold to a jeweler, he doesn't think gold and lead. He thinks gold and silver. So therefore, it has to be something choshev, not just a metal. And therefore, ma prat mefurash davar choshev, af kol davar choshev. That's how I understand it. So Rabbi Yosef says, fascinating. Now I recommend deleting it.
What?
Yep. You're going to delete it, and I'm going to tell you the right bride. Same didach mekame didi. Now you delete yours, and I'm going to show you mine. D'tanya. Kli sharet she'asan shel eitz. Now here it says, a kli sharet which was made out of wood. Now remember, you claim that nobody agrees with wood. They're only arguing about what metal, right? Okay, now watch this. Rebbe says it's possible, and your favorite Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. And therefore, the machloket is not, as you explained, in how far to take klal prado klal, but rather whether we should even look to klal prado klal as being the way to darshan the Torah. Because there are two very different ways of darshan the Torah. One is called klal prado klal, which means that we see all things as holistic, interrelated issues. And therefore, I need to understand that the klal doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's part of a system. Look at the entire system and determine whether it's an essentially expansive system, limiting system, but it's clearly a system that is meant to be expanded upon by the particular issues that are in it. So it gives you an example of a set. Sometimes there's only a single member of the set, like here with Zahab, and expects you to expand the set to its full membership. So it's all interrelated. There's another totally different approach to learning the Torah, which is all local, and it's called ribui miyut. You have something that sounds expansive. Great, okay, expand it. You have something that sounds restrictive. Okay, great, so restrict it. And you'd need to find a local balance in every case, and therefore the way in which it would be darshan, if we don't look at it as a klal prado klal, but we look at it as a ribui miyut ribui, then the rule is it includes everything. Because then it's telling you, essentially, riboy, riboy. Everything? Well, there's one tiny miyut. So if there's one thing that you can conceive of that is absolutely off the charts in being unsuitable, that's not part of the set. Now, that leads to a completely different way of looking at it. If we would apply it here, Rebbe says, okay, klal prado klal equals, beep, metals, model, metal, set, all metals, lead, zinc, tin, thank you. Excluded from the set, wood, bone, glass. But Rabbi Yosef Rabbeinu says, what, there's no sets. Torah's not about sets. So now, you're talking about a riboy miyot. Riboy includes everything. Gold, silver, tin, garbage, bone, glass, wood. Well, what do you mean? But there is a miyot. It does say zahav. Okay, think about the most ridiculous thing that would nobody in their right mind would see as a, isn't this a dainty present to set before a king? And that would be cheres, the worst thing you could possibly use for a lamp because it's disposable. And it must be disposable because you use it once and it stinks and you don't even want to touch it again. So obviously that's no good, but anything less than that is fine. And that's how to understand the Machlokas, which is exactly what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says over here. He's Dorish Ribu Miyute. Rabbi is Dorish Makolio Prati. Okay, how does that go? Let's follow the rules. Let me just walk you through it, man. V'asita menorah, that's a klal. Zahav tohor, that's a prat. Mikshati aser menorah, that's a klal. Chozav a klal. Okay, what's the rule? Klal, prat, klal. Iatatan ela kena prat. Okay, model. What's the model? Ma prat, before shamatechet. It's a metal. Thank you. Afkol shamatechet. Expand the set to include all metal. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no such thing. We dorish torah beribu yamiyute. Okay. Asita menorah, that's a ribu. Zahav is a miyat. Mikshate aser menorah is chaz of a riba. What's the rule? Riba miyat v'riba? Riba hakol. Okay, so what's included? I just told you, everything. Kol mili. And what's the zahav come to be mamayat? Anything that's off the chart. Like miyat shacheres, earthenware. Okay, that's the right way, Rav Papa. Thank you. Adarab, but why is your way? Maybe my way is the right way, and you should delete your brayta in front of my brayta. I don't see why we're taking for granted that your brayta is good just because it's yours. Well, says Rabbi Yosef, it's not just because it's mine. It's because my brayta is bigger than your brayta. And I'm going to show it to you. Exhibit number one, which I am bringing now from external sources, not included in my brayta, okay? And then we'll get to exhibit number two. Let's take exhibit number one. So Rav Papa said, Adarabba, I say, why don't we X your brayta? No way, says Rav Papa. Tanya, in lo zahav, you don't have any gold for menorah. You can go ahead and you can bring shel kesef. And if you don't have kesef, you can bring shel nechoshet. You don't have nechoshet, you can bring iron. You don't have iron, bring shel bedil. You can bring even tin and lead, v'shel oferet. Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda says you can even bring wood. Now, this is independent corroboration of my bright. That's exactly what I said he said. You can bring even wood. Not like you said it has to be a metal, according to him. Exhibit number two, v'tanya idach. Lo yaaseh adam bayit tavnit echal. You're not allowed to build yourself a house that is an exact copy of the Beit HaMikdash, even if you're from Vizhnitz, or for that matter, from Deal, New Jersey. It cannot be the same dimensions as the Beit HaMikdash. Don't build a porch that is a copy of the Ulam of the Beit HaMikdash. Don't make a Chotzer, which is the same dimensions as the Azara of the Beit HaMikdash. Don't make a shulchan in your home that is connected to the shulchan in the Beit HaMikdash, a menorah that is the same as the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash, but you could make a menorah, sehu, a menorah that has a five-branch menorah, a six-branch menorah, or an eight-branch menorah, but don't make a seven-branch menorah, even if it's from any other metals. Afilu mishar minei metachot. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer, av shel eitz lo yaseh. You can't even make it out of wood. Second independent corroboration. Why can't you make it out of wood? Because that's exactly the way they built it at the time of Hanukkah, when they needed to make their own new menorah. Kederech shasu malchei beit chashmonai. They didn't have the money to make a fancy menorah. Said the Chachamim to Rabbi, in this case is Rabbi Shita, to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. What, you call that a proof? It wasn't made out of wood. It was shpudim shel barzelayu. They put together iron pipes, and they covered it over with tin. V'chipum bebat. Then when they got a little bit richer and they could afford silver, they remade it out of silver. Then when they finally got rich enough to afford the original, they made it of zahav. And so, there you see that I am right from two independent sources. Omar Shmuel Mishpeta Saba. Shmuel quoted the Saba. Some Tosva says Ahu Saba means Eliyahu HaNavi, and this is the Saba over here, maybe that. Is the way to visualize the menorah is the entire menorah was 18 tvachim high, and here's how we split up those 18 tvachim. We have the base. The base consists of a triad of feet. You have the raglayim, and on the top of that was a flower-like device, and that took up three tvach. Now you had two tvachim that was empty of any design. And then you had a tefach, which we darshan, since the Torah puts together gevi'im ashru kadim kaftorel for achea, that we need to have the gevi'im together with the kaftorel fera. And so at that point you had the three. You had the gevi'a and the kaftor and the perach. Now there's a machloket about how that exactly looks. Is it a gevi'a, kaftor, a ferach nested in each other? So that the gevi'ah, which looked like a becher, came up around the bottom of the kaftor, and on top of the kaftor, just like a round ball-like device, and there was an extended flowery device, which didn't take up more of the height of the menorah, so all together, it all took a tefach. Or, as others suggest, including Rashi here, although there's other places where he seems to say otherwise, that these were all different faces, depending on which side you were looking at the menorah. There was a kaftor that you would see from one side, a perach from the other side, and a cup shape on the other side, so that these all sort of extended outwards and were connected at the bottom, that took up the tefach. But you can take a look at the accompanying drawings here to the daf. You click on your PDF extension on the page, and you'll be able to download this. And since I stole it from Art Scroll, anybody who's got an Art Scroll can simply look there. And now, the next, right above that, where you had the three things together, with the gavia, kaftor, v'perach, you had an additional break of smooth metal that was chalak, that was tutvachim. Then you had one tefach that had a kaftor, but this kaftor had two branches that were extruded from the two sides of the kaftor. They were yotzvimenu, one in one direction, one in the other direction, echad elach v'echad elach, and they would be nimshachim v'olim keneged govah shel menorah. They would now go up diagonally until they reached the top of the menorah, the height of 18. Now on that was the lamp, and the lamp took into consideration the angle, obviously, that they would need to bend to in order to meet the diagonally shaped pieces. There's no indication here that anything was rounded at all. So if it wasn't rounded, the rounded device is a way to get around the problem of having a metal continue to broaden itself if it doesn't have a turn. So that means if it kept going up, it would get broader and broader at top in order to be able to reach that, which there's no indication of. So therefore, the way that they got around that was to have it come out and bend in the middle and then go up straight. And that way, all of that could be the same width at the top. But there's no indication that that is actually what was done. In fact, the Rambam's drawing of his menorah, which he drew with his own hands in the Pirush HaMishnayot, is diagonal, exactly as the picture that I show you here and as most of the Rishonim learn. So that the imaginations of the Roman gentleman who was commissioned to sculpt the ark, where he put in all types of Avodah Zarah symbols on the bottom and so on, was probably just that. He didn't do it from a photograph. He did it from what he thought a menorah should look like, given some details. But look, it's difficult to know. I mean, obviously there are old coins, Hashemite coins, that have that the rounded menorah picture. But I mean, perhaps this is more of a graphic of what a menorah should be. The details, whether you want to make it rounded or straight, maybe they're actually not even important. The important idea is, however you manage, whether you manage through constructing the lamp on top to click into the piece that's coming up by providing a bend, or you make the whole thing sort of bent in order to have that typical menorah shape that people are used to, may be irrelevant, because we're looking at a schematic of a menorah here, and perhaps these details aren't important. That's the most likely explanation. So that could be that for the Chashmonaim, the easiest thing was to do it in the other direction. In any event, what's important is that the kaftor had these two kanim, and then you went ahead and you had another tefach that was chalak, and then you had another tefach with a kaftor with two kanim yotzim and echad elach ve'echad elach, which would then be nimshachim v'olim keneged gova shel minorah. And then you had yet another tefach halak and another tefach of a kaftor. So that in total you had six of these kanim, each one that was coming out of the kaftor from either side that was on the central the central unit, which would have been the pamot without these branches. Now, after those six finish, you then have an additional tvachaim chalak, and then you have three tvachim left. Those three tvachim left contain three givim, a kaftor, and a perach. Now, as far as what these things look like, givim lamahin domim, they look like the Alexandrian kosot, which looks something like our becher, typical silver elongated becher that's wider at the top. The kaftorim, what are they like? They're like the Crete apples. They're sort of like nice rounded shape. Kimintapuchea kartim. And the prachim, they are like the pircheha amudim that at the top of pillars, they would often make this flowery shape that held up the beam that the pillar was underneath. And now if you count that all out, you've got 22 givim. Tenimtu givim, esrim vishnaim. The kaftorim are achad asar, and the prachim are only tisha, because remember the kaftorim, you had the additional kaftorim that were the ones in the middle of the way in which the branches would branch out. So the din over here is, and tomorrow we're going to go into the detail of this, but right now let's just take, if you add up what we just said, you'll see that those numbers are correct. But we'll go over it tomorrow. But in any event, what's nogea us here about systems, the Rama Akev? Well, all of the nine givim are absolutely need to be there. They're ma'akvim ze et ze. All of the givim are ma'akvim ze et ze. All of the kaftarim are ma'akvim ze et ze. All of the prachim are ma'akvim ze et ze. So if any is missing, not only that, even if something is missing in one set, all of the givim, kaftim, frachim, or ma'akvim, zed, zed. So therefore, the entire menorah breaks down if any one of these designs is missing. Tomorrow we're going to go into where we get these numbers from, and we'll review it. Omar mar, v'shebefnim v'shebemitzorah, shelo lishman psulot, shelo mechuvanot kshirot, v'tani ben shelo lishman ben shelo mechuvanot kshirot, om rav yosef akasha, rav eliezer rabona, Rabbi Yezer, the Makish Osham Lachatas, Makish Nami, Logla Hashem. Rabbanan, Lo Makshe. And big deal, Rabbi Yezer. Even if he's Makshe, Vichidover Alamad Bekesh, Choser Molamid Bekesh, Elam Arava Hova Rabbanan, Kan Lachshir, Kan Lahartzot. Shiva Kanemenora Makvin Zetze, Shiva Nerotea Makvin Zetze, Ste Parshioche Bemuzuza, Mekvot Zoadzo. אפילו כתב אחד מעקבן, ארבעה פרשיות שבתפילין מעקבין זה את זה. אפילו כתב אחד בעקבן, ארבעה ציציות מעקבות זו את זו, שארבעתן מצווה אחת. רבי שמואל אומר, ארבעתן ארבע מצוות. מה הייתה אימא? הוויה כתיב בו, תנו רבו. מנורה הייתה באה מן האשת ומן הזהב, עשה מן הגרוטאות פסולה, ונשאר מן אימת החול כשרה, מה ישנה מן הגרוטאות פסולה? תכתיב מקשה והוויה, שאר מן אימת החול נעמי, כתיב זהב והוויה, אומר קרא, תעשה לרבות שאר מן אימת החול, ואם לרבות גרוטאות, לא סקה דייתה, המקשה כתיב ההוויה, well, Teyase also is going on Miksha. Well, K'tiv Miksha, Miksha la'akev. It says, Zav, Zav, Nami la'akev. Yeah, but hi, my. Yeah, but Bishlam, I'm in Agrutot, Psalom, Misha, Mine, Matochot, Kshera. So then, that would explain Zav, Zav, and Miksha, Miksha, all for their correct drashot. But if you're going to tell me that Mine, Agrutot, Kshera, Misha, Mine, Matochot, Psula, then you've got nothing to be learned out of Zav, Zav, Miksha, Miksha. My Darashtabe. And now, my Darasha, Titania. Kikar Zahav Tahor Yaseota, Kolakil Mele, Ba'a Zahav Yas, then Ba'akika. Ena Ba'a Zahav, Ena Ba'akika. Giviak after Elferachia, Ba'a Zahav, Ba'a Givin Kafturin Kabrachim. Ena Ba'a Zahav, Ena Ba'a Givin Kafturin Kabrachim. And why not add what you've so carefully left out, Kaneha? Emanami Ba'a Zahav, Ba'a Kanim. Ain't a bozav, ain't a barkanim. No, no, no. That can't be because that's not a menorah. That's a pamut. Vizema se menorah miksha zahab means Ba'azah Ba'amikshe, in a Ba'azah and a Ba'amikshe. And Miksha the Sefer Lamayata, Lemu'ut Chatzotzrot, Tanya, Chatzotzrot, Ayu Ba'im Mina Eshet, Mina Kesev. Asa Om Mina Gruta Ol Ksherim, Bishar Minem Pantachot Psulim, Umaish Lamishar Minem Matachot Psulim, Dichtiv Kesev. V'havaya v'hoyu locho min agroto dami miksha v'havaya, but miyek rachmana gabi menorah miksha hi v'lo chatzotzrot. Tana Rabba. Kol hakelim sha'asa Moshe kisherim lo u'kisherim ledorot. Chatzotzrot are ksherot lo and psulot ledorot. Chatzotzrot my time. Ilema diyom akras say l'cha l'cha v'lo ledorot. Elo me'atava sita l'charon eitz. You're also going to say l'chavala l'dorot. Elo, what does it mean over there? Either the mandiomro says l'cham is mishalcha, or according to the other mandiomro, t'keva yachol b'shalcha nirotze yoter mishalem. But you say that here too? Hainami miboy le'lach. Shaneatam diomar kro l'cha l'cha trezim ne'ase l'chava yulacha. Tani Rav Papa, b'reder Rav Chani. Kamed Rav Yosef. Minorah haita ba'a mina eshet mina zahab. Asa shal kesef kshera, shal ba'atz, v'shal avar, v'shal gistron, Rabbi posel, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Damakshir, shal eitz, v'shal etz, v'shal zchuchit, tibeko psula. Amalei, so you can explain this. Amalei, sure. Bein mar, darshan klal prat. Miu, mar sover ma prat, mefur shamatechet afkol shamatechet, umar sover ma prat, mefur shdover chashuv, well, you better delete yours. Mine is right. Dotana klisharecha sanshal eitz, Rebbe posel, Rebbe has Rebbe a makshir. And the explanation of Michael Milvagay, Rebbe is darsh klalio prate, Rebbe has Rebbe is darsh ribuyumiyute. Rebbe darsh klalio prate, viasitu benarat klal, zahav tahor prat, mikshate asam benarach lezav kalal, klal prate, klali ata denavagina prat, Ma prat mefurash shamatechet afkol shamatechet. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda darsh Rabbi Miyute. So yasita menorat riba zahav tohor miyet. Miksha teaser chazav v'riba riba miyet v'riba riba ko. So my Rabbi Komili, including eights. My miyet miyet shel cheres. Well, why not samedi tchami kamedidi? Nah, no way. It's like a daita. The Tanya. Ain lo zav maybe avshal kesef shana chosh shal barzel shal b'dil b'shal oferet. Rabbi Yehuda says even b'shal eitz big and there's another brayta that says even stronger. Lo yase adam bayit avnitechal achsadra keneged ulam chatzer keneged azara shulchan keneged shulchan menorah keneged menorah aval oser shal mechamisha shal shisha.
Then you had a tefach shabo gevir kaftor v'pera. Then you had tefachayim chalak. Then you have a tefach that is a kaftor with shnei kanim yotzim imyano. Echad elok. Then imshach v'elo keneged gomer shal menorah. Then you've got another tefach chalak. Then you've got a tefach with a kaftor shnei kanim yotzim imyano. Echad elok. Nimshachim olin keneged gova shal menorah. Then you have a tefach chalak. Tefach kaftor. With shnei kanim yotzim imena chadelech v'nim shachin v'olim keneged gova shel menorah tvachayim chalak nishtar sham shlosha tvachim where you have shlosha gviim v'kator v'ferach. What are these gviim? L'maim domim kimin kosot alexandrim. The kaftorim l'maim domim kimin tapuchei hakartiim. Prachim l'maim domim kimin pirchei ha'amudim. Nimtzu gviim 22 kaftorim 11 Prachim tisha. V'im ma'akvim zetze, kafturim ma'akvim zetze, prachim ma'akvim zetze. V'im, kafturim u'prachim, ma'akvim zetze.